And the guy today, 7 catches, his best game. Here's Barkley, Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley's the guy. He's going to take it. Touchdown from 65.
That is the Philadelphia Eagles' one and only savior, Saquon Barkley. I honestly brought it up as a joke in hour number one. I do not know where that team would be without him. Honestly,
it makes sense.
They're not a bad football team. They're a very, very poorly coached football team. I think they are one of the most talented teams in football. I think Nick Sirianni is a joke of a head coach.
What bad head coach would be? How would they be with Bill Belichick? Would he? I think he'd be better than Sirianni, but would he be better for that team?
No, I think it's the thing. I would love to see them with like Matt LaFleur.
Ooh.
Like Matt LaFleur on that team, I feel like would be just a cheat code.
Brian Daboll. Yeah.
I'm kind of out on Daboll.
Well, I don't know, because what he's doing with Malik Nabers, I think.
But I think Malik Nabers is just a great wide receiver.
Yeah, but still, I think that if you can get Daniel Jones to where he was a couple of years ago, and then also doing what he's doing now, granted, it's not great, but he's got better numbers than Jalen Hurts in some categories. Hurts has
absolutely
3 or 4 more turnovers than Daniel Jones does.
Hurts is just
I don't think he's bad either. Again, I think it goes down to coaching. If he has the right coach, I think he gets put in the right situations.
I think it all started with in the offseason where he went to, what was it, Wink Martindale to like ask for advice and stuff.
How did you beat me? Oh,
it was just it was not good. It was not good. Yesterday, he goes 29 for 38, 311 yards, and one interception. He also ran the ball 8 times for 25 yards. Really, though, it was Saquon Barkley, 17 rushing attempts, 147 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
It doesn't help that A.J. Brown is hurt, and it also doesn't help that Devontae Smith left with him. He left the game, right?
I think it was...
After he got hit?
I think so. I think I saw Colin Cowherd brought up a tweet or a statistic of Hurts without A.J. Brown, Hurts with A.J. Brown. Look, I'm all for the good receivers, but like you go from being a bad quarterback to a really good quarterback.
Yeah, and you have like it's A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Saquon Barkley. The next 3 receivers are Jahan Dotson, Britton Covey, and Johnny Wilson.
Well, remember when they traded for Jahan Dotson? They were playing chestnut checkers. Remember that. Remember.
Okay.
Never forget that.
Sure.
By the way, 3 targets, 2 catches, 8 yards for Jahan Dotson. Because remember, anytime a team trades for a wide receiver, it's the they're stealing Kenny from a kid every time.
I want to see Kenny Pickett play a game this year.
Oh, I don't. Oh, God.
Yeah, no. Get to that point. I want them to get to that point.
It's the same thing, just worse.
I know.
But I
want them to find out the hard way.
on that with the Eagles, though, like they're 2-1 now.
Yeah.
Sirianni should still probably be fired by the end of this year.
Oh, yeah. I think they should fire him midseason.
And a lot of it, too, is like I'm obviously watching more football with the Bills having a lot of these primetime games. I'm actually able to watch football. It's a super crazy concept. And I'm enjoying it. But a lot of it, too, is I'm looking around, and I know some Bills fans will not like to hear this. I find myself getting more of an appreciation for Sean McDermott as the head coach and really the coordinators as well. I see atrocious coaching in football constantly. Constantly. Yeah.
And even
Sirianni is sort of the main culprit of that. I've joked around and said Doug Peterson is the Mike McCarthy with better PR. But even Mike McCarthy, like those two alone are a disaster.
Yeah. And it's even the coordinators, too. I mean, like Vic Fangio just...
Coordinators mean so much. Arthur Smith with Justin Fields, it's not sexy, but it kind of works.
It's weird, but it works.
It works. Like they're not going to light the world on fire. They're not going to do anything insane. They look pretty darn good, though. They look okay.
Speaking of Arthur Smith, though, I mean, maybe he was onto something when he had Bijan blocking a bunch last year. Because did you see that block that Bijan laid on the Kyle Pitts play?
Every time Bijan has to block and not touch the football, the world is worse off. Every time.
No.
Even though play went well.
Yes, but for the Falcons themselves.
On that play.
On that play specifically, it went very, very well.
Just it's so frustrating watching the Falcons have all of this talent. And just
I don't know if this is already a thing, but when can we talk about fantasy football having points for blocking from players?
Oh, I hope never, because then it's going to lead to, hey, you want to draft offensive linemen, and that's
no. You keep everything the same. Hey, look, Bijan, he laid a great block there. The quarterback didn't get sacked. That's half a point.
It's half a point.
No, it'd be a
lot. That's too much.
It'd be a lot. .01 points for every successful block. If your quarterback,
the point?
If your quarterback does not get sacked, and if you're like a wide receiver and you create 1 yard, you get .01. If you create 2 yards, you get .02, so on and so forth.
You've lost me. so fast.
I can work this out. I'm going to work it out for the rest of the show, and we're going to have something by the end of it. We're going to figure this out.
Let's go back to the phones here. We've got John on the line. John, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good morning, guys. Hey, good segue. I'm actually driving in from Philly. I'm a Buffalo native.
Beautiful.
There now.
Nice.
My wife's from there. That's her team. I kind of have very similar. She's actually become a massive Bills Mafia fan as well, though. She's with me at a lot of the games watching them. But anyways, I kind of have similar feelings to you guys. I think Sirianni is a big issue there. I've been saying that since last year after they beat the Bills. It seems like from then on, they just kind of crashed and burned. But anyways, let's talk about the Bills, if that's okay. Like I said, I'm driving in now. First stop is Barbell with my buddy Adam. Looking forward to getting some wings. That'll be my breakfast.
Nice.
I haven't ate yet today.
It's a good breakfast.
So that'll be good. Yeah, it'll be a great breakfast. And then I'm going to save some for the ride home, which will be good. I'll be driving back through the night after the game. But, hey, just wanted to give you my insights on the Bills this year. I got two points I want to make, and then I'll kind of hang up and listen. I appreciate you guys so much. Having this app, being able to listen from Philly is great. I listen to you guys every day. The 2 points I want to make are, one, I want to see a bigger sample size of the Bills before I'm really – I mean, I pick the Bills to go to the Super Bowl every year. That's just the kind of fan I am, and I'm super optimistic, and I still am. But when my realistic brain kicks in, I want to see a bigger sample size because while – ultimately, the two games, we had the same outcome. We've won them both, but they've been very different games. One was obviously a come from behind. Josh had we carried the team. The second one was really we dominated. The defense really carried us a lot, as well as, you know, obviously the offense didn't have to do as much. So I want to see a bigger sample size before I really am sold on who we are going to be this year long term. I just hope we're just going to be a winning team long term, which that looks like it could be the case. And then the other side is I'd like to see I'm not very critical of Josh ever, and this is really isn't a criticism. This is more of just a, hey, I want to see this get better this year because it has been good in the past, is his deep ball. He's overthrown MVS a couple times, and I really like to see his deep ball get better where he hits those guys in stride.
Yeah, absolutely, John, man. Thanks for the call. Enjoy the wings. I have not been there in a while. He said that. I was there about a month ago,
and it...
By the way, also driving through the night, courageous.
That's the other thing.
Courageous,
John. You're a trooper through all this, man. You are driving like 24 courageous. Hours straight. Well, not really, but it's going to feel like it.
Good on you, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
I want to say something on his last point there about Allen with the deep ball, because I agree with him in terms of Allen getting better with the deep ball, but I wonder how much the talent of player that he's throwing to it kind of.
No,
excuse that a little bit. Because,
I think he's always had an issue with the deep ball.
Well, no. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying right now, are we not seeing what it actually is because MVS can't do what Allen needs him to do?
No, right? he missed digs last year. I think it's the one huge issue in his passing game.
But that was also last year. I mean, you don't know what he did in the offseason because you haven't really seen the deep ball yet. You've only seen it a couple times, and it's only been to MVS. He hasn't had a big deep ball to Keon Coleman. He hasn't had, aside from the one in the Cardinals game.
But he's had like a year of being a good deep ball passer.
Right.
So ultimately, I know he's not a good deep ball passer. I don't really care who's on his team. MVS was open.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs was open a lot last year.
Yeah.
He misses them pretty regularly. And I agree with John. He needs to be better at it.
Because
you're not going to have many opportunities now to throw the deep ball in terms of crossing patterns. You do have the opportunity to do it in those four verticals when you are eating teams alive via the short pass, via just going underneath, the run game, what have you. He's got to be able to hit those deep shots.
Yeah.
And it's never been a consistent enough aspect of his game. Where in 2020, I was lights out.
Yeah.
It was great. But I remember in 2019, it took to like the night game in New England where he hit John Brown. And it was like, oh my gosh, he hit a deep ball. It was a genuine thing. You know, 2018, I think he was pretty good with the deep ball, I think. I mean, the Robert Foster one, I always kind of remember. But that's never really, which is weird for how big of an arm he has. He's always been good at like the intermediate two deep passes.
Right.
Never really like the long ball. He'll hit one or two. I mean, it's not like it's not there in his game, but it's never been consistent enough. And I think it has really affected when this offense can really strike and take teams out. Sure, talent, I think, plays into it. But last year, he missed digs a lot for deep passes. And so far this year, he was, you know, just missed MVS. And that's what he's here for. You got to hit him.
Well, I wonder, though, because a lot of the talk ever since he was drafted was he has the arm power but not the accuracy or the control. And I wonder if it's because over the years he's gotten better at hitting these passes, not throwing as many interceptions and whatever you want to call it. But I wonder if it's more he has better decision-making now than it is actual accuracy. Instead of being able to hit these, as you said, intermediate to deep balls, it's he's hitting what would be a deep pass earlier in the route. He's able to identify, hey, this guy's going to be open between here and here. I'm going to hit him sooner. Yeah, he doesn't have as much room for error. Right. It's less of the accuracy. He maybe still doesn't have that fully, but he has more of the, I know when to hit them rather than, hey, MVS is open at the 10-yard line, and he's going to be open until the 30-yard line, so I'm going to hit him at the 15 rather than the 25. Because then you leave more room for error. You're trying to get the ball further. You're putting more power into it. And I wonder if it's a decision-making thing rather than an accuracy thing or a control thing.
I think it's never been an efficient play. When I hear Mel Kiper freaking out about the deep balls gone, it's like, well, I mean, teams never really went to the deep ball all that much anyways. Right. It's always
when you hit it, it's there. And it's big because it's probably a touchdown or a big gain. But like you said, it's if you took a entire game for both teams, mm-hmm. how many deep balls actually get completed?
Yeah, realistically, it's not many. And, I get it. In terms of the better sample size, yeah, obviously. Like, I'm fully there. Like, I'm excited after 2 weeks. I'm already, saying the schedule looks better. But, yeah, by, week 4 or 5, it could be all right, San Francisco's back, LA's getting healthier, what have you, and it's a bit different. We're having more issues. I like what they've looked like so far, though. We talked with Sal as well. It seems like there's only two or three teams that actually look really good. One of them is Minnesota, which was very
mind-boggling
weird to find out.
Mind-boggling.
Because I don't know if you were here, but me and Sal talked about, too, of the schedule, looking at it and going, man, Minnesota, that schedule is a gauntlet.
Yeah.
And, if Sam Darnold doesn't hit, how bad are they really?
Well, and I remember the conversation, too, was, hey, the Bills have their second round pick. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be, the top pick in the second round? Is that going to be top five in the second round? That could be huge. Mm-hmm. And now it's the exact opposite of, oh man, that's going to be almost a third round pick potentially.
It's looking like it to start, where it's just they've kind of figured it out. They sort of know what they're doing.
What you could really hope for is they just run out of gas at the playoffs.
Yeah. But Kevin O'Connell again shows that he is a very, very good head coach that kind of just gets, without a doubt, the most out of his quarterbacks. And that's my thing, too, is if I'm a Bears fan, I'm kind of freaking out looking at the NFC North coaches. I have Matt LaFleur having Malik Willis look unbelievable. Running the ball, passing the ball, everything. He looks great. He's been there for 5 minutes. It's not even like he's been there for an offseason. He's been there for 5 minutes. You have Kevin O'Connell, who literally does not matter who his quarterback is. He's making that work. And now he's going to get a whole offseason or a whole season and offseason of J.J. McCarthy just hanging out with him in meetings, hanging out with him, just picking his brain, teaching him the whole thing. Not reps, I get it, but he's just maturing as that kind of player. And he already came off as a head coach's dream in terms of what you want a quarterback. Yelling at players, on recruiting visits at Michigan, if they weren't all bought in. He's a dream. And then you have the Detroit Lions, who just have absolutely gotten the most out of Jared Goff. And even when Sam Laporta picks up another injury, they're fine. They're cruising along. They have Jameson Williams. They have Amon-Ra St. Brown. They have both Montgomery and Gibbs. Goff is pretty good. They have a great O-line. If I'm the Bears, this year started off with a lot of hype and a lot of excitement. It is – Waldron is a bad OC. A bad OC.
I mean, remember in the offseason – Jaxon Smith-Njigba was getting interviewed, and is it live? Oh yeah, Waldron, he's a good coach. He's gonna be great. Yeah, good luck.
Just and looked so uncomfortable to say anything positive. Did
he literally said at the end good luck and laughed, and it's that's not gonna be good for the Bears.
And it looks exactly like that. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing. And they finally got Rome Odunze off and Caleb, but right. I mean it has not looked good at all.
On the flip side, the Seahawks are
cruising along
fine without him. Yeah. But it's funny you bring up that Odunze thing, because there was a pass earlier in the game where Caleb Williams almost had Rome Odunze not open, but he was breaking away from his defender. And I was like, great. We're going to get another video from Rome Odunze's dad saying, look at this. Another guy wide open, missed.
Would have been so good.
I want it so bad. I want that to keep happening all season.
But yeah, it's another thing too, where it's the coaching point. But yeah, I totally want more of a sample size as well. I mean, they're going to have a big portion of their schedule here coming up that is ultimately, I think, both against good teams but also desperate teams.
But I mean,
if you're Baltimore, you can't be sitting here going, "Oh, we beat the Cowboys, we're back." Yeah. It's like if next week you go out and lose to the Bills at home, you're 1-3.
Well, and
you're
two,
still looking around going, "I don't know what's happening."
I'm not really all that. It's hard to take anything from that Cowboys game because, like I said before,
it's
the Cowboys have given up 464 yards of rushing offense in 2 weeks. It's insane. They gave up 151 yards to Derrick Henry and however many yards to Alvin Kamara the week before. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's just because the Cowboys are bad. I mean, yes, Derrick Henry's a good running back, but it leads questions of, you know, how bad or how good are the Ravens? Because they didn't look good in the first 2 weeks.
And ultimately, we were talking about the Chiefs,
rough,
too.
I should say.
But we were talking about the Chiefs, too. Like, I haven't left any of their games thinking, like, oh, man, they're, here's the three-peat.
Right.
Here it comes.
But again, remember the conversations we were having in the offseason of, man, the first 6 weeks of the Bills' schedule look pretty tough. And you have the Cardinals who...
You mean early gauntlet, yep.
The Cardinals are a question. You don't know what you're getting there. How are you going to handle the Dolphins with your new offense?
Mm-hmm.
The Jaguars always give you problems. The Ravens are really good. The Texans have Stephon Diggs. And what are the Jets going to be? And now it's, well, you handled the Cardinals and the Dolphins. The Jaguars look really rough. The Ravens are questionable. The Texans still have their moments. And the Jets are the Jets.
I do not like the Jets at all, man.
The best way to put it is the Jets are the Jets because, yes, you have Aaron Rodgers, but that doesn't mean anything. So it's the schedule has changed a lot for me up to this point. I mean, it's still tough. I mean, obviously, you look ahead further, like Titans, Seahawks, Dolphins again, Colts, Chiefs, 49ers, and then you have the bye week, or a couple more weeks, then you have the bye week, I think. But you look at all those teams. And the back half of this schedule is where we were all looking for kind of the relief. I mean, yes, you have the 49ers and the Chiefs, but you were hoping for the relief because you have two Patriots games in the end of the season. You have the Jets game, you have the Colts, you have the Titans.
It felt like it's somewhat more opened up where it's like,
right,
okay.
Yeah.
And also it was the sort of feeling of the young team kind of would have figured it out and what you have. You
right,
know, and,
right.
And
they're
you,
rolling.
And you knew what you had.
Yeah.
And of course you do have still Josh Allen, a quarterback, so you're never going to be completely out of it.
But now you look at all the teams that are looking ahead to.
Yeah.
And you can look at every single one of them and say, well, the Chiefs are questionable. What's going on there? How is that going to happen? And sure, that's much later in the season. But I don't know. I feel like the perception of the schedule has definitely changed. And this can change week by week. I mean, Sal said it last hour, you know, this could all be completely different at the end of week 4.
100%.
This time next week, it could be, okay, so the Bills
are 2-2.
2-2. What happened?
Yep. 100%. Absolutely. It's just, yeah, and this is even with big injuries on their defense. You are still without Teron Johnson, Terrell Bernard, likely Matt Milano for most of, if not the entire year.
Well, we don't really know on Bernard and
Johnson.
So that's a little more of like hope. But
every day they're not put on IR, I'm thinking it's a positive direction.
Right, exactly. But with Milano, it was from the beginning, it was maybe December.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he can.
Yeah, so most of, if not the entire year.
Yeah.
And you're making it work. You're getting great reps from your backups.
Von Miller is looking like Von Miller.
Von Miller looks incredible.
Greg Rousseau.
Ed Oliver. I mean, you feel good going into this year. And that's the thing. And especially how the league looks now. It's not like the Bills are like, yeah, they're winning with a short passing game and running game, while the Chiefs, Vikings, and Packers or whatever are winning by stretching the field, throwing the ball. And you're sitting there going, yeah, I don't really like how we match up with them. In reality, I'm sitting here going, I want the run defense to be a bit better for the Bills. I want them to get healthier. I want to see a more clear-cut guy in the receiving game that's sort of embracing it. Kincaid, I'm still a little nervous about.
Samuel, too.
Up to this point. Samuel, I can at least argue injury-wise. Kincaid, I'm just kind of at a loss at this point. But Shakir has looked very, very good up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Keon Coleman, when he was actually really targeted, looked very good. Cook, you can argue, has looked very good as well. So I'm finding myself a little bit more relaxed than I was maybe a month or so ago with the Bills. And it helps, though, that the schedule has opened up a lot. Now, again, they have to handle business against Jacksonville, but as the 2 weeks have gone on, where we're at now, you look at the Jags, and you're just kind of sitting there going, okay, they can't score. One of their only consistent weapons on offense is hurt.
And the other one is their kicker.
And the other one is their kicker. Like, great. Like,
super
this
cool.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
They will have those weird games. I get it. Like, that's
right.
Every team does. Every team will struggle here and there where they really, really shouldn't. I mean, the New Orleans Saints, I'm not saying that the Eagles, I've mentioned, I think they're a poorly coached team. I think they're untalented.
They're frauds.
But for them, you know, the Saints are lighting the world on fire.
Yeah.
And then they score 12 points at home.
Clint Kubiak looks amazing through the first 2 weeks. And then yesterday, it was just...
Derek Carr, I think, maybe got to 150 yards passing, maybe.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I got to actually check that.
Don't know. It didn't feel like he did.
No.
I think he only got to, like, maybe 100.
Let's check this now. He got to 142.
Oh, all right. Did not feel like it. Didn't look like it on the scoreboard either, obviously. But 3-0 through three quarters in that game was atrocious.
It was an electric factory, Josh. It was an electric factory. But on the Jags here, real quick, it's just they have not scored 20 points yet in a game. And Sal brought it up correctly, I think, against Miami. They were a yard away from scoring 24.
Right.
But that's still a really bad turnover on a point where you're putting that game out of reach. And up to this point, they're 0-7 in their last seven games, going back to last year,
mm-hmm.
where, again, it felt like everything was opening up for them. The division didn't look great. Houston perception of them was not that great. Indianapolis was going through their own rebuild. Tennessee is whatever they are. I'm not 100% sure. And instead, Jacksonville, like, I mean, you joke that, like, they're the Jets. They're the Jaguars. They're exactly what you expect every year, which is super disappointing. Mm-hmm. Not really that exciting. No real stars or anything. I will say, Brian Thomas Jr., I'm really excited to see the Bills go up against him. They handled Marvin Harrison Jr. arguably pretty well, but I do wonder if that was also the Cardinals not targeting him nearly enough as much as they should have.
How much are you worried about the mini-bye? Are you concerned with that at all?
No. If anything, I am very confident the Bills coming off.
I don't know. I'm just curious because I know sometimes those lead to, you know, some questionable things. That happened. I mean, you get there and it's just, what's this?
It's a bit of a slow start.
Right, yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if there might be a slow start tonight, but I hope that it's not that big of a deal, but I do know that it's been a problem in the past for not just the Bills, but for everybody. So I'm wondering about that a little bit, but I think that'll be fine. I just was curious if you get concerned about that sort of stuff.
I just need them to beat the Jaguars for my own mental health. I'm so serious. Like, just I don't like that I fear a bad football team, a bad organization.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, no, every time the Bills play them, it just devolves into a rock fight in which the Bills lose.
A rock fight.
Like, I hate it. I hate it. It's so bad. Like, Urban Meyer is arguably one
What's
of the...
What's he up to nowadays? Where is he at?
TVs on Big Ten, their kickoff show.
Yeah.
But like
we're all good coaches go right
pretty much. Urban Meyer, like arguably one of the worst NFL head coaches ever, especially in such a short run that he had.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And one of like what his two wins is against the Bills. Are you kidding me?
He only had two.
Oh wins. No, that's right. It was his only win, or what was it? His only win?
It might have been his second win or his first. It was his first win as the coach.
Remember, they fire him. They bring in another guy.
Right, but what week was that? Because I thought they won two games. I thought they beat the Bills, lost, and then beat somebody else.
I am so nervous. Now I got to check.
It's going to be his only.
Okay, he did have two wins. Okay. Okay. Man, that was bad. What? So he had two wins. One of them is against a good Bills team in 21. And you have that, you have the playoff game, which ultimately that playoff game doesn't hurt me as much because a lot of that was more just I was somewhat embarrassed to say this now, but I really don't care. I was just thrilled the Bills were in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything after that was, like, the cherry on top. Because there was, I think, already rumblings at that point that, like, the team was probably going to tear it down. They were looking for a quarterback in 18. So, like, it was like, okay, I'm just thrilled to be here, guys. Like, let's go. And then, of course, they don't make the playoffs the next year. But even the Jalen Ramsey game, where after talking all that smack about Allen and a lot of players in the offseason, you know, you have the amazing Robert Foster touchdown. You have, like, a brawl at some point in one of the end zones. I barely remember that game. I only remember the losses. And I'm not really thrilled about that, but I only remember the losses. It's just like they are a team that I find zero respect in them. I hate that they've pretty much pawned themselves out to London. I get their owner also plays into that, but one of their home games is now in London. I think their color scheme is gross. I don't really understand why we have a NFL football team in Jacksonville, Florida that is clearly college town, like through and through.
At least they don't have the half black, half gold helmets anymore.
That too. Their uniforms have always been a disaster.
Yeah.
And it's just like
we have three teams in Florida.
They've had. Like, oh yeah, we do.
No other state has three teams.
California.
Nope.
Raiders are gone.
Yeah, but they have the Rams.
Rams.
Chargers.
Rams, Chargers. Oh, and the 49ers.
Forget the Chargers.
Yeah.
Everyone forgets the Chargers. But
well, It's all right.
You move him from San Diego to L.A. to get more fans, and then the 49ers sell out your stadium.
I'm going through now. I'm like, Texas has two. Okay. Yeah. I'm going through
No, Texas has two. I knew that. I forgot about – I don't know how I forgot the Chargers, but
– Well,
New Jersey has two.
New Jersey has two.
New Jersey does have two. New York only has one.
New York has the one. Yep. But yeah. Pennsylvania is two. Pennsylvania is two. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
All right, so there's two states. Whatever.
But
you see my point, though, is it's like
it's the only it's you, one
there's
of two.
Always the forgotten team because it's the Buccaneers and the Dolphins. Oh, and the Jaguars, and then it's the Rams and the 49ers, and oh, it's the Chargers.
I don't think they run things particularly well there. It's just and they're a constant frustration. I know a lot of Bills fans are mainly people here have like a frustration with Tennessee. For me, it is 1,000% the Jaguars.
Oh, I don't like
I
the
find
Titans,
nothing
but...
interesting that they do.
Yeah.
And they constantly frustrate me.
I think in terms of boring level,
mm-hmm.
the Titans are still up there.
Yep.
But the Jaguars are very quickly coming
no,
in.
They are there for me. 803-0550 is the number to call. Coming up next, though, we will be joined by Patrick Hammer to get a look at the weather of tonight's game. It is very gloomy right now in our Amherst studio, but we'll see what happens or what's going to be happening closer to kickoff at 7:30. That's coming up here after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Break it down. Time.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com, and you know what that music means as we go to the Western Hotline, and we are joined by Chief Meteorologist over at WGRZ. It is Patrick Hammer. Patrick, how are we doing this morning?
Good. Why is this game causing me to be a nervous wreck? I don't know what
you.
It is.
Thank you.
I think you just spoke for the entire area of Western New York and beyond of whoever is watching tonight's game and has a rooting interest for the Bills. I think we all feel the same way. And we were talking in the break. We were going to ask you, what's the vibe check for you tonight? How are you feeling? But clearly feeling a little nervous.
I know it's a conversation that you guys have all had, but there's something about this desperate team. It's like a rabid dog looking for food and will do anything to find it. Right. It's just, like when you're this desperate and it's like anything goes at this point. They have nothing to lose, so they're going to go and it's just something weird is going to happen. I don't know. Obviously the history with this team, but there's something about a team as desperate as these guys are, having not won a game since November of last year, weird things mm-hmm. happen. This entire series with the Bills and this team has been weird, right?
And Pat, that's been my thing. It's just like the whole history, most of my life has just been like they play the Jaguars aren't good, and yet miraculously they will just grind out an ugly win. There's no real takeaways from any team, but they leave with the win, we leave with the loss, and we're just all frustrated. I will tell you, though, on that point of a desperate team, I was rooting for the Cowboys yesterday against Baltimore, but a part of me kind of flipped on it, and I went, I just can't see Baltimore going 0-4. I just can't see it.
Us going there, a team that's 0-3 potentially going to be 0-4. Yes, that was. I think we would have the same exact feeling mm-hmm. about this game, but clearly they would have been, I think, a more challenging opponent. But I don't know. I just the vibes that I get of Josh Allen intercepting and sacking Josh Allen, if you remember. 2 years ago.
Who could forget?
Josh Allen of the Jags, right? I mean, it was just like,
well, at least
ultimate fear is actually happening.
At least this year, it's Josh Hines Allen. So you don't have the confusion there now, but it's still definitely going to be a tough test for him.
Yes, it is. Now, despite the kind of dreary look to the skies right now, I think we're going to have a pretty decent afternoon of tailgating and evening of football weather-wise. Certainly a lot of clouds. There could be a little isolated shower that pops up this afternoon, but I'm pretty confident that the game will be dry. And most of, again, the afternoon tailgating will be dry outside of a quick shower or a little drizzle that can move through. So all in all, you know, we haven't had rain here in forever. You know, we've had this amazing 2-week stretch of sunny and 80s, and it all kind of changed today of all days. But again, I think as you're planning your afternoon and evening, weather should be pretty decent tonight.
Well, and I know as you said that, you know, with when rain comes in just out of nowhere, it can sometimes cause a little differences in the ground and everything like that. So is any of the rain we got overnight in this morning, is that going to be an issue come game time in terms of, you know, how the footing is and everything like that, or how is that?
I don't think so. I mean, the rain that we got this morning wasn't all that much. So I think things should dry out pretty decent, you know. I just don't think, you know, when we spoke about all of this on Friday, we thought, okay, you know, we were thinking, I don't think this rain could be done with by game time. And now I think it's pretty much done for the day. So we're going to have hours and hours to dry out the field and, tailgating lots and parking lots. And all in all, I think, you know, outside of a little shower, I think we should be doing just fine.
Pat, how do you feel about a little bit earlier start for Monday Night Football? Normally it's like the 8:15, 8:30-ish window, but with the doubleheader of the Bills kicking off an hour earlier, someone that works the games, that hour might save my life.
I think it's huge, especially if you're on doing morning television or radio work.
Yes.
The next day. There's something about, you know, I know it seems like the Sunday night slot is the more premier evening showcase of a football game, but there's just a place in my legacy of watching football games that Monday night is still special, from the music to the days with, you know, Al Michaels and Dan Dierdorf and who was the other guy, the three of them, anyway, just the announcers of the game. Watching Monday Night Football in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you know, maybe it's lost a little bit of its mystique, but I don't know. I still love Monday Night Football.
Was it Keith Jackson?
Well, he was more of a college, right? But Dan Dierdorf and the guy that was married to, I'm just having a blank. Anyway, there was just a venerable slew of announcers that you just, their voice on a Monday night was just like, everything's right in the world when you hear them. Griffin, what was his name? Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
It's going to hit you as soon as you hang up. You know that, right? It's
Kathy just... Lee Gifford's husband. What was his name?
Ooh. Well, we have one name.
You're talking about Howard Cosell?
Well, no. Oh, God, now we're going back to the 70s. No, he was kind of the venerable announcer in the 90s.
Frank Gifford?
Kathy Lee Gifford's husband. Frank Gifford, thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. We got it. We got it.
We got there. That's all that matters.
Senior moment. Senior moment.
But so, yeah, I think that's right, though. I mean, as long as me and Josh have really been watching football, Sunday night has kind of become like the more prestigious. That's the one you want to be on. I mean, we were making the joke earlier, too. They have the nice ring, too. Have been waiting all day for Sunday night. Like, that's kind of become the thing. But Monday Night Football for a long time, too, was like just like the best cable TV show ratings-wise for like two and three decades. It was an absurd run. It was like that and like Dallas. And that was it. That's what everyone was watching.
It's true. I mean, that was a fixture on, you know, before it was on ESPN, it was ABC, you know, it was one of the stalwart shows that you would not miss despite the matchup, you know, you couldn't miss it. And still the music.
It's the best.
Nothing beats it. It's the best.
So quick question, getting back to weather here for a second. I'm looking ahead here at the temperatures, and are we finally going to start getting away from the 80s? I feel like the last week and a half, it's been so hot. And it's still going to be, look on my phone, it still says it's going to be about mid-70s. But is it going to start to cool down a little bit as we get further into September?
I think, yeah, we're kind of out of the 80s, you know, now that we're trending into late September. Can't rule out a warm stretch still. But this week, 60s today, we're going to be back into the 70s for the rest of the week, even though it will be kind of unsettled. We are going to see some rain returning tomorrow and then maybe a shower on Wednesday. But as we head towards the end of the week and the weekend, it looks really nice and we're going to be in the 70s. This stretch, though, of literally like 11 straight days of sunshine and 80s, yes, that has come to an end. But late summer, now we're in fall, do not discount a warm stretch even into October. But 80s are probably done.
Do we have any kind of an idea on the early weather outlook for the Baltimore game on Sunday?
Okay, that's a very good question because, in fact, I should have taken a peek at that. there is going to be a hurricane making landfall, it appears, somewhere on the eastern Gulf Coast, and it will then potentially meander towards the East Coast. There's a big question mark with that. But that could potentially have some residual effects on the Sunday night game in Baltimore. Definitely going to keep an eye on that. I will admit it's been a very changeable outlook for Sunday. But we will revisit that. But right now we got to keep an eye to the tropics for the game on Sunday.
All right. So today weather looks pretty solid. Rain probably done for the day, maybe some scattered showers, but the eye on the ball is going to be for Sunday against Baltimore. All right.
Today I think we're looking okay. Isolated shower, but mainly dry, tailgate into the game. But yes, we will revisit the Sunday outlook for sure.
All right, sounds good. Pat, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the game today.
All right. Bye, guys.
That was Patrick Hammer, chief meteorologist over at WGRZ on the West Her Hotline. I had to ask that only because, and remembering it was in Baltimore, the last Bills game I attended was in Baltimore, and it was just, it wasn't like a rain shower.
No, because it was I remember it was
cold. It was kind of ugly in Baltimore the whole day.
I remember it being a residual part of a hurricane that year. Am I remembering wrong?
I have no idea.
Maybe I'm remembering wrong, but I remember that leading up to the game, the talk was, the Bills are going to have, both teams are going to have to work through it because the weather is going to be bad because this hurricane is still coming through. And I'm trying to find now like a list of hurricanes from that year, but it's still,
nothing yet.
Sorting through this. But I remember for some reason that was the reason why, but I don't know if it's true or not. I'm going to try to find out here before the show wraps up.
Do have a little bit of an update here on Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. Ian Rapoport reported that he did obviously aggravate his high ankle sprain against the Steelers yesterday, obviously leaving the game. Had x-rays. They were negative, and he's going to be continuing to monitor that this week. He has been dealing with a lot of lower body injuries to start this year. Basically missed all of camp, and then now with this high ankle sprain, it's been a tough start for the Chargers, even though they are 2-1. But Herbert just has not really been able to stay healthy much throughout this start of the season. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, I do want to mention something that happened over the weekend that was really cool here in local sports. With it, after a quick time out, you'll listen to the Norristown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
From 37 yards away to win it, Upton Bellenfont for the Bulls. Snap, spot, kick, up, on the way, and bullseye! The Bulls have knocked off the 23rd-ranked Northern Illinois Huskies 23-20 in overtime. They come pouring off the sidelines to surround their kicker and celebrate one of the biggest wins in UB school history.
So UB's better than Notre Dame.
Exactly. That's exactly how it goes. That is not putting it lightly, though. That is just the second time University of Buffalo has beaten, or University of Buffalo has beaten a ranked program. The first time, also a MAC school. They have never actually beaten like a team outside of the MAC that's ranked.
Really?
It's two MAC teams. The first time was in 2008 under Turner Gill when UB won the MAC championship. They beat, at the time, number 12th ranked Ball State 42-24. I do remember watching that game. I had season tickets growing up to UB football games, and I do remember watching that one. I remember not really believing that they were going to win, but we were turning it on the TV, and then it was like, wait a second. And so I was 10, 11, something like that, around there. And so that was huge. And then obviously they then beat the 23rd ranked Northern Illinois 23-20, a huge win for them as
big
well.
Big comeback.
It was a comeback win. Kept it close the entire time on the road as well. A true road game where, the MAC championship was in Ford Field in Detroit.
I love looking at the win probability charts for these.
Yeah, where UB only ever at one point during the actual game with 4:12 left had 54.3% chance to win it.
And then all of a sudden just shoots up with the field goal, obviously.
To obviously 100%. Yep. Yeah. But great game. Sean Dolak from West Seneca.
Yeah, linebacker.
Unbelievable performance by him. I think 19 tackles, just an absolute freak of nature.
UB linebacker you? Some people are saying it.
Apparently.
Some people are saying it.
Just straight up.
Like, I am some people.
Just straight up defensive players just coming out of UB have been very, very good as of late. And now UB, though, sits at 3-1. Obviously, to start the year in the MAC, 1-0.
15 tackles in that game for Dolak.
I thought it was 19. 15?
15 solo tackles.
15 solo, okay.
I'm sorry, yeah. And 4.5 tackles for loss.
But just an incredible game. Awesome for them. The Pete Lembo era is off to an incredible start. I was, you know, me and you have talked a little bit about off air. Obviously, I'm being a college football fan that I am. I like that he was seemingly bringing more juice. Like Maurice Lundquist, yeah. The last head coach, was a really good recruiter, but he was on the field that was really struggling. Where Lembo, they did like funny little videos when like players were reporting to camp and everything like that. And he's had a lot of you know, high energy personalities. Like anytime I've heard him speak, we talked to him as well right after he got hired, and just to see this start is really, really good. Because you've seen when UB gets good head coaches in really any of their sports, they kind of outclass the MAC.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. I mean, you just have to go back to the basketball program where they had Bobby Hurley there for 2 years and they made their first NCAA tournament.
All I'm saying.
And then once it was Nate Oates, it was off to the races how good they became. And now we'll see what happens there with both the men's and women's basketball programs. I know Becky Burke's doing a great job with the women's program. But for the men to start 3-0, great sign for things to come, hopefully, for Buffalo sports.
3-1.
What did I say?
3-0.
Yeah, 3-1. They obviously did
rank
lose Missouri.
Rank them.
There we go.
Do it. Give them Northern Illinois' rank. 23.
But we, of course, are getting ready for Bills Monday Night Football against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a 7:30 kickoff. Our official pregame is going to start at 3 o'clock, but, of course, we're going to be covered all day. But the Sabres also play today. And with that being said, coming up next, Sabres Live. You're listening to, One Bills Live is actually on today for 3 hours. So One Bills Live coming up next. This is WGR.